Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. Live from Trackside, this is IMSA Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome along to the 2021 IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. We're getting towards the business end of the season. And in fact, this weekend, we will crown some champions, or at least we'll find out who we'll be crowning at the Night of Champions later on in the year, because the Sprint Cup, the Michelin Sprint Cup, is coming to an end this weekend on Saturday. That's our feature race for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. And you'll hear it all live right here on IMSA Radio.
The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.
Welcome to the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre as we set ourselves up for this weekend's action. And we are in the picturesque surroundings of Virginia International Raceway. Good to have your company wherever you are around the world. Friday late afternoon, as far as Europe and the UK is concerned, just coming up to midday here at VIR. Engines ticking over gently in the background. Let's bring in Jeremy Shaw, who's with me in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Hello, Jeremy. Great track. This is the GT event, of course, and basically the GT categories get centre stage, and I think these events are great.
Yeah, completely agree with you. Yeah, the second one of the season. The other one, of course, was traditionally at Lime Rock Park a couple of months ago. I agree. I think it's a great event, and we've seen some exciting races the last few years here. The other interesting thing about this event, of course, is the main race is on Saturday.
Yep.
In order to fulfil the TV requirements. So that's another exciting, I think, development for this series. And you know, great to be racing here with a quality field, particularly of course in GTD. There's a lot to play for in that GTD championship.
Yeah, and as I said, Jeremy, this is the last round of the Sprint Cup, so you know, basically get it out of the fast draw now. It's extremely tight in the Sprint Championship this year. All of the shorter races have been included. Indeed, we've had some Sprint Championship only events as well. As far as the drivers, the teams and the manufacturers, it's tight.
It's been super tight. Yeah, we've seen all sorts of different winners. We've had five different winners in the seven rounds that have comprised the Sprint Cup series so far. Roman De Angelis and Ross Gunn in the Heart of Racing Aston Martin, they've been leading since the second round, which was on the streets of Detroit, and they are holding on to that advantage, but it's been trimmed over the last couple of races by Madison Snow and Brian Sellers. Last year, that Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini team, they won the Michelin Endurance Cup Series. They didn't contest the Sprint Cup because of the COVID restrictions that were in place and the fact they had dealerships to be worried about it in terms of that COVID last year. They concentrated just on the Endurance Series. This year, they're back to running the whole championship and very much in contention for this Sprint Cup title with a win last time out at Long Beach. The second place finish in the previous round, also on the West Coast at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. John, they're now just 74 points behind Roman De Angelis and Ross Gunn, so very, very tight.
Shea Adam is our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter. Good morning, still just morning, Shea, and green flag is out. Give us a quick update on who's doing what to whom, and we've got a few spots of rain I did see some of the pit lane officials just putting on some headgear there. We expect a little bit of weather this weekend. Before we talk about that, a couple of drivers who aren't here. That means we've got some changes in the driving personnel.
Yeah, correct. And the biggest driver change that we've got in the GTLM category is because of duties for Matthew Jaminet and Matty Campbell abroad. We have Kevin Estra back in the WeatherTech Racing Ferrari. Welcome back to Kevin. He did race at VIR back in 2014 with Park Place Motorsports in another Porsche, as you would expect for Kevin Estra. But that was a very long time ago. This morning, he wasted no time getting back up to speed, and that car was top of the charts. So it was very good to see Kevin back in the car for the first time since Daytona with this team, of course. And in GTD land, it's pretty much as you would expect. In the 32, though, we welcome back the Gilbert Cawthorne Mercedes. They've added Mike Skeen to the driver lineup with Guy Cosmo. We welcome back the Allegra Mercedes. That's Michael De Quesada and Daniel Morad sharing that car. But the big driver change in GTD, no Mark Miller. He blew out his Achilles heel doing sprinting last week, had surgery on it a week ago today, as a matter of fact, and is at home helping the team from afar. He actually was sent some of their data and information in between the sessions. He did an overlay track map corner by corner report on brake reference and brake pressure, sent it back within an hour of the first session being completed. So even though he's not here, still helping out the team, they're more than capable replacement for Mark this weekend, though. That would be one Super Mario Farnbacher. Not too bad.
Yeah, stitches come out for Mark next week, and it'll be a couple of weeks before he can start his rehab. It's an awful injury, an Achilles injury. Nick Damon's wife, Rachel, has just gone through that, although didn't have an operation, so she was immobilised for quite a long time, and just getting back to normal now. Ankle's a very complicated joint, and there's an awful lot going on down there, and I speak as someone who's had ankle problems for many, many years. We're underway, 1 hour and 15 minutes. Shea, this is the confusing session. Run us through it again, as you're the only one who seems to understand.
Okay, first 15 minutes, only the GTD cars and only the silver or bronze drivers. After the first 15 minutes has elapsed, for 1 hour, the GTLM cars are allowed out on track with whoever they wish to be behind the wheel. The first 30 minutes of this section are only for the silver or bronze drivers in GTD. The last 30 minutes are all for whoever wants to drive the GTD cars. Well, not you or me. That would be pretty fun, though. And then the last 15 minutes of this confusing session are for the GTLMs only. Although with 18 cars running around 3.27 miles of Virginia International Raceway, traffic should not be an issue. But for right now, for Roma De Angelis, traffic is a bit of an issue.
Crossing the line, heading down to the first tricky braking area for turn number one. One of 17 numbered corners, although wonderfully, Jeremy, quite a lot of the corners here have names, like coming into turn three, NASCAR corner. Not at all, because it looks like a NASCAR track, but a NASCAR road race many years ago here claimed that corner, came rather a large number of NASCAR champions, and then up through the snake, through the climbing S's, the south bend, and to where the oak tree was, but we still call that oak tree corner at turn 12, down the back straight past the school S's, and then rising up and over the roller coaster and down into the hog pen. That is a lap which is easier for me to see, Jeremy, than it is to drive. Extraordinary difficult and nuanced circuit here at VIR.
Yeah, good old school track here at VIR, and always a driver favourite. Everybody who comes here for the first time is in thrall of the place, and they just can't wait to come back again. So as you say, Kevin Estra, Kevin Estra didn't have the best of weekends. We're sharing that Porsche back in six, seven years ago now with Patrick Lindsay. I don't think he actually got to drive the car in the race, but he couldn't wait to come back here. Now he's excited to do so. I tell you what, I think you said he set the fastest time this morning at a 141.124. That lap time It's about a half a second away from the race lap record that was set back in 2019 by Earl Bamber. The qualifying lap record was a 1:40.2 for Joey Hand in the Ford back in 2017. The qualifying lap record, though, was set last year was by Fred McAfee, 1:40.3, and Nick Tandy set the fastest time in last year's race, 1:41.3, so quicker than that time by Nick Tandy last year. And as you can see there, three of those four kind of standards were set by Porsche. So clearly a Porsche works very, very well around this racetrack. Didn't win the race last season. That was down to Antonio Garcia and Jordan Taylor in Corvette. But the Porsche did win in 2019 with Patrick Vida in Nick Tandy, the one in 2017.
Thanks, Jeremy. Jeremy Shaw with me in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre, exclusively live on IMSA Radio and around the track as well. Thanks to Tyler Norling and the IMSA technical team, plus our colleagues up at Charlotte for making sure that we, A, can, B, can be heard and ear can hear, if I did those the wrong way around. But you know what I mean. Without us having vision around the track, we can't call what's going on at the different corners, and without our colleagues at Charlotte helping us out to do that, and of course without making the right connections to the PA, thank you Tyler, all that hard work, then you can't hear us trackside. Good to have your company wherever you are. Midday here it's VIR, so just after 5 o'clock in the UK, 6 o'clock in Europe. What a way to finish off a working week. Shit, Adam, with an update on one or two teams that had problems earlier on in the first session, which was very early this morning. A couple of teams didn't do a lot of running. Was that just because they wanted a lie-in and an extra cup of coffee in this VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock report?
No, although I did see that Turner Motorsport was quite adamant in asking race control for a stay on the schedule on the day. They would really have preferred this first practice session to have taken place at 9:30 in the morning instead of bright and early at 8 a.m. But if you looked at the times and you were a bit confused at what you were seeing, well, you weren't the only ones. For Paul Miller Racing in the number one Lamborghini, they won the race at Long Beach. They were last on the timing charts this morning. Brian actually went out after Madison Snow did a couple shakedown laps, and Mr. Sellers reported that the car would not downshift. They brought it back into the pit lane, did a gearbox actuator change on the pit lane because the car was stuck in sixth gear. They couldn't actually get it back to garage to do more work on it. Brian took it back out, said, "Nope, guys, it's not better. Let's go back to the garage." As he was driving back to the garage, all of a sudden something changed, and he felt like the car was better, took it back out on the track, got a better lap time, but they figured out that something was loose within the wiring. So now Madison Snow is back out in that Lamborghini, as he is the silver driver in this segment. Remember, Brian's not allowed to go out and play until 30 minutes has elapsed, so still another 20 minutes yet. But the car seems to be better. It was still an alarming start to the morning, though, and they didn't get very much running at all. The good news for the team right now, with these raindrops falling out and around the track, we're expecting to get a lot more of that tomorrow, John. There is serious rain in the forecast starting tonight at about 7 p.m. Although, as we've been told by people around the track, and hello, Amanda, there is rain in the air. And from turn to turn, you get little drops on the windshield.
Yeah, it looks like a fine mist at the moment. Not by any stretch of the imagination enough to want to put wet weather Michelin tyres on. At IMSA Radio, by the way, if you want to say hello, get in touch with us or make a point. Next session for these cars will be qualifying. That's at just after 4:30 this afternoon. And we'll have that for you in sound and vision, whether you're in the US or further afield, at the website address imsaradio.com, also on imsa.tv, of course, as well. But that's later. So this, effectively, Jeremy, this is the final opportunity for the teams and drivers to hone their cars before we go qualifying, and qualifying and track position here is pretty important.
Indeed so, and then after qualifying, straight into the race as well, which of course, tomorrow afternoon, so no warm-up, so you're right, this is it. And as we can see from the onboard there of the Gradient Racing Acura, there's definitely spots of rain out there. Fastest time so far was actually set on the last lap, though, by Richard Highstand, 145.777, in the number 39 car barn with Peregrine Racing Audi R8 LMS GT3. Oh. The fastest time this morning was set, unsurprisingly, by Bill Oberlin, who, along with Robbie Foley, was a dominant factor here 1 year ago. He won not only the WeatherTech race, but also the Michelin Pilot Challenge race in a sweep for Turner Motorsport. Bill Oberlin this morning, 144.391. Put that into perspective, it's a full second faster than the race lap record last year, which was in the Acura by Mario Farnbacher, the same car he's driving today, by the way, the number 66 car. Driving
same chassis,
last year, of course,
yeah.
From Meyer Shank Racing 1 year ago. The fastest lap in the race last year, though, 145.446. Again, 144.391 for Bill Oberlin this morning. The pole position last year was also in the 145s. So stout laps there for Bill Oberlin this morning to lead the way. Over in second place, Shay was talking about the Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini having problems, but finally, it would appear, no problems for the GRT Grasser Racing Lamborghini, which was second fastest this morning in the hands of Frank Pereira, the 144.6.
Just a quick note that BMW from Turner Motorsport, the number 96 Liquid Moly, the white, blue and red car, Robbie Foley's brought that car in, and they've already started pulling the front off that. I can't decide whether I was seeing a little bit of some kind of smoke or moisture coming out of the back of the car, or whether that Shea Adam was just wet coming up from the track. But by the way, they're looking at that and they're rubbing their fingers and sort of looking at various bits underneath the hood. I think that might be a slightly more serious problem.
Yeah, that was definitely a bit of white smoke coming out of this car. Remember, it sustained a bit of damage during the Long Beach race fairly early on when Robbie Foley and Richard Highstand had that coming together back out on the Shoreline Drive, I think it was. And Robbie wound up fairly stiffly in the tires. The car has been back to the shop since then. They have had time to work on it. But the good news is, at least for Robbie Foley, the rain is falling substantially harder right now. The interesting thing, it actually didn't show up on the radar, but there are a lot of teams that have come back into the pit lane and have decided that, well, you know what, the running right now, it's not great on slicks. We might want to wait until it either gets a bit wetter or it gets a bit drier.
Yeah, no intermediate tires in this category of racing. Oh, they are wets or dries for the Michelins. It hasn't slowed down Zach Robichon, who's just gone up into second. And the BMW share with this VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock report is headed back to the paddock.
It's going back to the garage area. Maybe the crew just doesn't want to be out in the rain at this point in the day. But remember, this is the team that won the VIR race a year ago. They actually swept the weekend with victories in the Michelin Pilot Challenge in the Grand Sport category as well. So this car going back to the garage, that does not look good. They're still in it for the championship, out of it for the sprint championship at this point, but it's getting very perilous out there. A lot of cars going sliding around.
Almost starting to see a bit of spray, I think, from the slick Michelin tyres. Now, when the track is warm, and at the moment it is only 32 Fahrenheit on track at the moment, a little off-track moment at Oaktree, for the number 28 AMG, which is the Mercedes of Michael Di Casada. And he just got his braking in the middle part of that, couldn't get the car turned in. This is one of those things where the weather radar is no good to you. It's raining. It's nothing on the radar. Look, I'm telling you, my hair's getting wet. It's raining. You just need to go out onto the pit wall to find out. I don't think, though, Jeremy, as we get the GT Le Mans cars coming out and the two Corvettes come out line astern, I don't think it's wet enough for wet tyres yet, though.
No, I don't think so. As we were talking about that, Zach Robichon, I think you mentioned there, went second fastest to Richard Highstand. His next lap around, we saw a shot of him coming down the back straight up toward the roller coaster. And that lap, I think he had to go past number 16 car of Trent Hibben, who made his way into the pit lane in the other Porsche for Wright Motorsport, or one of the other Porsches, the Wright Motorsports entry. But Zach's lap time last time around was 1:48.1, so that was a couple of seconds away from the best time that he turned on the previous lap around.
That's Jeremy Shaw. He's in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre with me, John Hindhoff. Don't forget, you can head over to IMSA.com to pick up the live timing from Al Kamel. And there's even a tracker as well. I'm watching that at the moment, and that tells me that whilst the number three Corvette is heading up to the entry to the Oak Tree, right in behind is the number 44 Acura of John Potter. Before his teammate goes by, that'll be the next car. Then it's the number 66 Gradient coming out, Gradient NSX coming out of Oak Tree. No fears for Till Bechtelsheimer with the car moving around. And Till, a man who has plied his trade in a number of classic and vintage cars down through the years, so not having any grip is actually probably more usual for Till than not. Doesn't mind the car moving around at all. Just under the hour to go. I'll give you a rundown of the GTDs whilst the original drivers are still in there. Richard Highstand's just taken the number 39 Audi R8 out, and that car leads the times with a 1:45.777 from a 1:45.842, so 0.065 of a second between that and Zachary Rumshot in that number 9 Pfaff Porsche. That's the plaid Porsche. Then the Lexus, the first of them at least, the number 14, is again not even a tenth away, 86 thousandths of a second with a 45.9. 46.1, oh my goodness, fully 2/10 of a second for the now behind the wall BMW M6 GT3 of Turner Motorsport, the 96 car with what would appear to be some kind of oil leak issue. Shea Adam may have some more news on that, Shea.
It is a coolant leak. Robbie Foley was losing his cool out on the track. but it is a coolant leak for that car.
Well, they're still sitting fourth position at the moment. Fifth, Trent Hindman in the 16 Wright Motorsport Porsche, the teal blue car. And sixth, Madison Snow in the number one Lamborghini Huracan. We'll wait to give you some times from the GTLMs until they get up to pace. But Kevin Estra is taking no time to get back into the groove as he drags by Corvette going up to the roller coaster at turn number 14 and goes straight through. Made that look very easy indeed as they come down towards the final part of the track. It was the number three, I think, that the number three that he went by, which will be, who's it out in that? Jordan Till and Tommy Milner, the two drivers, three and four, as they go across the line. And in fact, Jordan Taylor in the number three goes quickest. Oh, for a moment. Kevin Estre with a 47.0. Now, these cars, Jeremy, the GTLM cars, the GT Le Mans cars, do have slightly more options when it comes to tyres.
Yeah, indeed so, yes. They have a couple of options from which to choose. And I'm sure they'll be on the softest available ones right now. And this is not desperately hard on tyres, this racetrack. It's still in pretty good shape. And they run quite a bit of downforce around here because of an awful lot of corners, like you were saying earlier on. So yeah, you've got to get the car working well through that section. Of course, the longest straight here leads from the Oak Tree Turn to the roller coaster, but it's also a pretty longish straight from Hog Pen to Turn 1 as well. Kind of curving, isn't it? But it's certainly flat out easily. So you know, it's an interesting trade-off between straight line speed and downforce here at VIR.
And let's not underestimate, this is a quick track, Jeremy, because let's not underestimate the run out of turn 5 through the snake up through 7, 8, 9. Yes, there are corners there, and it's not easy flat by any stretch of the imagination, but the corner speed and the commitment that you're taking through there, particularly when it comes to the south turn at turn 10,
is quite extraordinary.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, the lap record here, the average speed for a GTLM car, 117 miles an hour. So
wow.
You know, that is seriously fast.
Yeah.
You know, prototypes that you don't race around here, or haven't raced around here, but you know, it's a quick track. Just to kind of put things into perspective, perhaps a little bit in terms of the average speeds. Somewhere like even Road America, the qualifying lap record there, average speed for GTLM cars is 120, so only a couple of miles an hour more than the average speed here at VIR.
So, into the meat of this session now, the second and final free practice session for IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Good to have your company this weekend. Delighted that you can join us wherever you are. And qualifying to come this afternoon, 4:35, we'll be on the air a little bit before that with sound and vision for you, all free, no blocks, no breaks. And then, of course, we'll bring you the full race tomorrow as part of what is a Super Saturday with plenty of action out on the track, the majority of it in sound and vision, all of it in sound and vision if you are outside the US. NBCSN doing the honours again this weekend for those of you in the United States. Check local listings for your details there. But of course you can listen in to us here on IMSA Radio and on XM Sirius as well. We'll get you the channel numbers for that once they're confirmed for our broadcast tomorrow for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Thanks for your tweets coming in at IMSA Radio. Good to know that one or two of you have either stuck us on in the car on your way home from the week of working or are quietly listening in various places around the US. Thank you. Keep it down, just in case. Just in case the boss is listening. It's fine. A few people on their lunch break as well at the moment. So, to the top, Kevin Estra has improved again, and the GT Le Mans now, the three GT Le Mans, the Porsche and the two Corvettes, Jeremy, have pushed ahead, as one might expect, of the GT Daytonas. But there's a new fastest time for Frankie Montegalvo and Lexus at the top of GT Daytona.
Indeed, so, light drizzle or no, that time by Kevin Estra just now, 141.205, less than a tenth of a second away from the time he managed this morning. Frankie Montecalvo, as you say, car number 12, one of the two fastest sellers of a Lexus, number 12, at 145.206. That car's fastest time this morning, 145.8 by Zach Beach, who set that time this morning. So, yes, a good lap times now. Clearly, that drizzle has dissipated somewhat. Bit of a lock up of the brakes there. At turn one for Frankie Montecalvo, but improved again on that last lap at 145.009.
Well, when you're confident and when the car feels good, the conditions underfoot or under Michelin tyre as it is here, perhaps just not worrying him so much. He certainly seems as if he has got the hammer down at the moment, and I wonder, Jeremy, if this is a brand new set of tyres, and in fact this is a simulation for qualifying at 4:30 this afternoon.
I would think that's very, very likely indeed. He will be qualifying that car this afternoon, and trying to see what he can do right now. Maybe they think there's going to be, certainly right now, before the quicker drivers or the more experienced or higher rated drivers in GTD get behind the wheel of the car. There's only three GTLMs out there, so it's a good opportunity for the silver drivers to really prepare themselves for qualifying a little later on this afternoon. John. Yes, I agree.
And that's going to be worth tuning in for. As I say, we've got that in sound and vision. Early pace setter Richard Highstand just going through turn number one, squaring the car up in the mid-engined Audi. Great variety of GT Daytonas, not just the fact that we've got flat six V8, V10s, but the engines in different parts of the car. All of them except the Porsche really are mid-engined cars of one way or another. That sounds odd when you talk about an Aston Martin or a Lexus perhaps, but the engine is low and pushed as far back as it can be. It isn't in the traditional place that a front engine car would be, but it's reasonable to call it a front mid-engine car, whereas you would call the Audi and the Lamborghini a full mid-engine car. But the Porsche, of course, is still, in the iteration that it stands at the moment, a rear engine car. Now, that said, some pictures leaking out of Monza earlier this week would seem to suggest that a new version based on the 992 is on the way for the Porsche GT3R, as it is. Coming to the end of the lap for Heart of Racing. And Ian James, the better of the two cars at the moment, as Roman De Angelis is in the pits. So here's Ian coming to the end of the lap. Let's see if he improves. He's coming across the line now. And he has done a 46.2. That's his best. 46.7 last time around. Good to see the two Astons from Heart of Racing again this weekend, Jeremy. It's been a strong run for them in the early part with the Singleton car. Haven't had so much luck since they've had both cars in the championship. But what a team, what a story. And what a great acceleration, pun absolutely intended, of their results and form over the last 18 months or so.
Yeah, tremendous. I mean, you know, what that team has done, you know, on and off the track, you know, raising a lot of money for very good causes. And yeah, since they've added that second car, the last couple of races have been a bit of a disaster, really. The lead car hasn't had, still finishing among the top six, which has done in every race this season, but the second car out on the first, well, basically the first corner at WeatherTech Raceway, Laguna Seca, at least managed to get to the finish line at Long Beach, but not in contention. So they'll be hoping for a stronger run in that number 27 car this weekend for sure.
So check in before all the other drivers are allowed out. Shea Adam is keeping an eye on what's going on, and I'll come to you in just a second, Shea, because we've got a race breaking out here between the number three Chevy Corvette with Jordan Taylor on board and Kevin Estra, who is thoroughly enjoying being back in the white, red and blue WeatherTech Porsche, which looks absolutely nailed to the track at the moment, coming out of Oak Tree down the back straight. You know when you've got the scale extric car that's got the magnets in the back? That's how the Porsche looks at the moment. It really looks very good indeed. Remember, I'll remind everybody, this is just a qualifying, excuse me, not even a qualifying time. It's practice. Just practice. Through, a little bit of a slide there for Estra through the first part of the roller coaster. And now he's backed off. And perhaps discretion now being the better part of it. Just have had a little bit of aero wash sitting right in behind Jordan Taylor there. Sorry, Shea, go ahead. It's almost time for all the drivers to come out.
Correct. 48 seconds remain before we can see every driver coming out of the pit lane in GTD. We do have a new fastest time in GTD, though. Both of the Lexuses at the top, and it's Aaron Tielitz who surpassed Frankie Montecalvo. Frankie won't be too happy about that, but Tielitz into the pit lane. I'm keeping an eye on these pit outings, I guess I should call it, because at Long Beach, Turner Motorsport received a penalty of 8 minutes stop and hold for letting Bill Oberlin out before he should have been. Well, in about 17 seconds, any driver can go out, but I'm still being the little watchdog to find out that everybody is following the rules.
Yeah, we did have somebody who was a little bit over eager at Long Beach, and that cost them some time from the next session. Who was that, she remind me?
That was Bill Oberlin. That's what I mentioned. He went out 4 minutes before the end of the session, so IMSA gave them an 8 minute stop and hold.
Yeah. Which you don't want to do going into a qualifying session when his qualifying session's only 15 minutes. We will have two qualifying sessions for GT Daytona, one for position and the grid spots. That will come first, and then we're racing for points. And given, as we've mentioned already, just how tight it is at the top of all of the championships at the moment, then those points for qualifying may well stand for something. Right, everybody can come out and play now. So let's see who does what in terms of coming out onto the circuit, whether there's any change. Estra catching back up with Jordan Taylor. 141.018, the best time there. Still, Jeremy, the better part of 0.9 seconds quicker than either of the Corvettes. That's, I mean, it is slightly Porsche weather, you would say, wouldn't you, with it being slightly slippery. But even so, that's a mighty lap from Estra.
Well, it really is. And Shay's got a better memory than me as to why the Porsches didn't win here last year. But the Porsche certainly is always suited to this racetrack. It's always gone well here, and Kevin Estra is taking full advantage of that superiority that car seems to have right now in both of these practice sessions.
Yeah, the wipers are being used less often, if at all, in fact. So it would suggest to me that that misty mizzle that was in the air perhaps has passed through the track temperature. Coming up now quite markedly up to 84 Fahrenheit and 72 in the air. 45 minutes of running for the GT Le Mans still to go, and qualifying to come in the sessions, the 15-minute sessions, of course. That's at 4:30 local. Hope you can join us for that. We've got your sound and vision covered for that one.
Interesting thing, John. The field has been open to all drivers, as race control has said. And yet in GTD, I'm only seeing two gold-rated drivers, Alex Riberas in the 27 Heart of Racing Aston Martin. Watch for that car to jump up to the top, by the way. He is a guy who loves this place. And Andy Lally in the Magnus with Archangel Racing Acura. Everybody else is still the lesser rated drivers.
They're obviously enjoying themselves far too much, and I don't think you can argue with that. It is a phenomenal circuit that is just a challenge for any driver. It still blows my mind somewhat that they race motorcycles around here. Very, very quick. And Jeremy, you've been looking up the speeds for the ELMS prototypes when they did come here.
Yeah, the lap record, the qualifying lap record was set by Klaus Graf.
Of course it was.
In 2012, yeah. At 135.4, that's an average speed of 123.3 miles an hour. The race lap record was Lucas Neuer that same year in the HPD ARX03 at 136.1, average speed 122.4 miles an hour. So these times being turned right now, 141.018 for Kevin Estra in this session. That's about 117 miles an hour.
Yeah, that is impressive to be that close to what, you know, we look back on those prototypes, don't we, Jeremy, as being right at the very top of their game. And for the GT Le Mans cars to be as close as they are, that is actually pretty impressive. Very impressive. Estra can certainly pedal a Porsche, although I don't think it took the lap that he's put in here for us to have realised that down through the years. Trent Hindman goes to the top of GT Daytona by the massive margin of 0.058 of a second for Wright Motorsport. It really is that close, with Trent having clocked a 44.711. Little bit of a run for Trent then in that teal blue number 16. Also out, another Porsche out there at the moment, Catherine Legg. A little bit further back than I would have expected Catherine to have been. Has she just got in that car, she?
Yes, correct. Rob Ferriel was the driver who started this session. And Rob and Catherine have actually been having quite a fun week. They did a charity go-kart race yesterday at the track. They were doing some shooting at the gun range on Wednesday because this is Team Hardpoint's home track. Their shop is about 1,000 feet off of the S's, I would say, due east if you're going to go as the crow flies. So for Hardpoint, this is a big weekend for them, and they are expecting big things for this weekend too. Keep an eye on Kat. Won't take her long to move that Porsche up the charts.
Great go-kart track as well here. We've had a couple of evenings here in the past where it's been a huge amount of fun. And if you're close enough to be able to drive up over the weekend, I would heartily encourage you to do so. It's a beautiful part of the world. There's some great restaurants, plenty of places to stay as well. And the viewing here at VIR is brilliant. And if you like taking photographs of race cars, the viewing here is very good indeed, without having to worry too much about catch fencing and that sort of thing. You can't get above that. Catherine Legg then breaking down through the gearbox at the first corner and turning through on that darker patch of tarmac that is there. Now into the tricky turn four area, runs out over the curbs on the outside, then the chicane, which is very easy to get wrong. And if you drop off the edge of turn four, it's all downhill from there, and I mean that literally. And the grass, when it's damp particularly, it's really difficult to get back onto the track. Jeremy Shaw.
Is it, John?
Yes, it is.
Okay, yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I couldn't resist. You're talking there about Catherine as we're watching her at this the Team Hardpoint Porsche. It was a steep learning curve for Catherine this season. Hadn't driven a Porsche before, and as you well know, it's a kind of a different driving style really required in a Porsche compared to most other cars out there. But she's really come to grips with it really well. She's shown good improvements all the way through the season, and has been quick on numerous occasions. Perhaps most notably last time out at Long Beach, she said second fastest lap. She's a pretty stout effort for Catherine. I mean, she always goes well at Long Beach and street circuits in particular. That was seen of her first win in North America in the Atlantic in 2005. But that was a very fine effort for her to set second fastest lap of the race in the last time.
She's a precise driver though, Jeremy, isn't she? And yeah, you know, it's all very well when we talk about track limits, and you know, there's a chat that any motorsport fan could have over a few cups, mugs, steins, or whatever is your particular preference. But on a street track, the track limits are pretty easily defined, and you've got to it's almost like the golfer. And I think it might have been Catherine who said this to me many years ago. It's almost like the golfer who's looking at the water hazard. You can't look at the water hazard. If you look at the water hazard, you're going in. She said you can't look at the wall and think of it as a wall. You've just got to know that you can't go any further than how far you can go, which I thought was a really interesting comment.
Yeah, absolutely right. Target fixation, it's kind of known, isn't it? If you focus on it, you're probably going to hit it, and that's not a good thing to do in a race car. You're absolutely right. And same with golf, but to a slightly less dire consequence, perhaps. Porsches, they've been flying, haven't they, these last few races now, with wins in... they didn't win last time, because that was the Lamborghini of Brian Sellers and Madison Snow, but the two previous races won by this BAF Motorsports Porsche, the kind of a nine that has now vaulted its way up into the lead of the points in the GTD season-long championship. And you talked about Bill Oberlin and Robbie Foley having won this race last year and were leading the points up until just recently. They've now fallen all the way back into, led points for a while, I should say, now back into fourth place in the standard. It's super tight in the GTD season-long championship heading in to the final couple of races of the season, just here, of course, and next month at Petit Le Mans to finish off the championship. And we've got the top top five cars in GTD and therefore teams separated by just 207 points, which is not in all money, is at 20 points, which is not much at all. So it's tight, and any of those five teams can certainly win this championship.
Race control, the slippery surface flags out at the southern end of the circuit, so that's down by turn 10 and the oak tree corner, and that is for more rain coming in, so drivers just being warned by that. The yellow and red striped track surface flag basically used to denote a number of things, track not being as you would expect it, so either reduced grip or maybe a piece of debris, something, track surface conditions not optimal as far as that is concerned, and those flags have just started to be displayed at the far end of the circuit. Race control just speaking to the marshals and our flaggers down at that end of things, and thanks to them all, by the way, whether they're on post with a flag in their hand, rescue and recovery, medical staff, any of the officials, of course, even those helping to park cars, all giving up their time so that we can go motor racing, and we thank them all. Time is a precious commodity. I think we've all found out that in the last 18 months or 2 years, haven't we? And being able to spend that as you please, possibly even more important. So thank you to everyone who has turned out, not just here, but across the US and indeed the world this weekend, to make sure that motorsport can keep going. Now, improvements, Jeremy, despite the potential issues with the track surface down there at the southern end of the track, improvements for a couple of drivers. Nobody's told them.
No, it would appear not. You know, Mario Fagerberg could just improve up to 8th position in the number 66 Gradient Racing Acura, or something, as Shea was talking earlier, for Mark Miller this weekend. And hurry back, Mark. Also an improvement for Ross Gunn in the number 23 Harter Racing Aston Martin, up into 3rd position now with a 144.702. So within a 10th of a second. We've got 4 cars now within a 10th of a second of the fastest time that was set just on a previous lap, actually, by Zach Veach, the number 12 Lexus for Vassar Sullivan Racing.
And he's backed that up with he's 44.6, yeah, and he's backed it up with a 44.7, so that wasn't a flash in the pan. Mario Farnbacher then driving the same NSX chassis that he was in last year when it was an MSR car. It's made its way to Gradient, and they've been campaigning it this year till Bechtelsheimer starting this car off. And Mario in, as we mentioned, as Jeremy's just mentioned, for Mark Miller, who I know is listening in, so we pass on our best to Mark. Still an integral part of the team and has been crunching numbers and is sitting at the moment looking at all kinds of data that's been sent through and times, and he'll report back to the debrief in between the sessions. Sorry, Jeremy, go ahead.
No, I just say we're watching the pictures of that Gradient racing car, and it's incredible how the colour changes as it swings past the camera. It goes from sort of green to blue to gold and back to sort of a greeny teal sort of a colour. It's fascinating. Particularly, I don't know what's about this light right now that seems to be even more stark than usual. It's a very cool. Very cool colour.
As my father would say, it'll confuse the witnesses.
Yeah, this one certainly will.
It was a green car. It was a gold car. It was a blue car. It was blue at the back. Certainly it was blue at the back. Very clever bits of paint technology nowadays. Now, these cars aren't painted, of course. They tend to be wrapped or have the aero paint films on them. But ultimately, to get that effect, it's tiny little prisms that are either in the film or in the paint that's on the film, and it's a very clever piece of technology that came out a few years.
Yeah, I believe PPG developed
it. You're right, yeah, because they had it on the pace cars in IndyCar, didn't they, when it was the PPG exactly IndyCar right. Championship.
That's exactly right, they did, and they when they sponsored the championship, you're right, and they were stunning looking cars, and You watch the car go past, it just changes colour before your eyes. Remarkable. So, and you see it occasionally, don't you, on road cars, on street cars.
Yeah, not for a while. Although wraps now have started to do it as well. I've noticed. There was a couple, very famously, believe it or not, the Nissan Primera GT came out as a special edition that had a prismatic paint on it, or a flip colour as some people often call it, and there was a couple of TVRs as well down through the years that came out with that in with very spectacular results on the exotic shape of Blackpool's finest sports car. So into the last half an hour now of the final practice session, Estra goes quicker again, Jeremy, in that WeatherTech Porsche, 140.838. That's an extraordinary... I think that's faster than he went this morning, isn't it?
It is faster than he went this morning, yes. 41.1 this morning, so a clip three-tenths away from that. The pole time last season was Fred Makovecki at 140.3, so he's still got a little time to find to match that. And the lap record was a tenth quicker than that by Joey Hand back in 2017 in the Ford GT, but still, you know, he's got an advantage now of 0.4 of a second over Tommy Milner in the number 4 Corvette, and he is less than a tenth quicker than the second of Corvettes, car number 3, that's Jordan Taylor.
It's Jeremy Shaw, he's alongside me, John Hinoff, in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Under half an hour to go now, and just 15 minutes for the GT Daytonas. Of course, Shea Adam has been keeping an eye on what's going on. Anything news from the BMW camp and the Turner BMW with that coolant leak earlier on, Shea?
It's like you have a camera straight into my brain, John. That's who I was actually just texting to find out if they were going to be coming back out to play anytime soon, because with 13 minutes to go in this session for the GTB cars, we have still not seen the Turner Motorsport BMW. It was a coolant leak that happened with that car, and we know Turner, they're plenty cool, they got plenty to spare, but no sign of the Liqui Moly BMW coming back out onto the circuit, and I'm not entirely sure they're going to make it before the session ends.
Of all the teams that could afford to miss a session, and all the drivers, possibly it hurts them the least because they have data here, they know their way around, but bear in mind there's no next chance, it's qualifying next, and people are turning up the wick all the time. Jeremy, new fastest lap in GT Daytona
by Jack Hawksworth, now number 14 Lexus, vaults ahead of Zach Beach in number 12, turns 144.407 to Jack, and right behind him 144.566 for number 23 Aston Martin of Ross Gunn. And we talked about the qualifying sims earlier on for Frankie Montecalvo. He will be qualifying the car to set its grid position for tomorrow's race, but of course with the new rules this season there's a separate qualifying session to go for championship points, so that is also a factor out there, and it will be Jack Hawksworth and Ross Gunn who will qualify those respective cars, and indeed Zach Beach, in the session that counts for the points, which will take place after the session for which the grid positions will be allocated.
And Shea, last time Jack Hawksworth got a pole position was here, was it?
It was, and Jack's had a fair few over his career. The first one actually came in the prototype challenge class. That was a long time ago, 2014 at Petit Le Mans. I remember that. He got 4 pole positions in 2018 in the Lexus, the last of which was at VIR in the rain. So clearly he's not afraid of that wet stuff falling from the sky, as it will be wont to do a little bit later on for that session. But yes, it's been a while since Jack has been top of the charts for an official qualifying session. He definitely wants to get the most points here today.
Looks like the team car is headed back out, sitting in third in class at the moment. Zach Veitch was last in it, and I think it was Zach that was still in the car as it pulled out from behind its yellow and black teammate. Yes, it was. So Zach's back on track now in the last 10 minutes or so of the session. Also just leaving the pit lane at the moment, the AMG silver, black and blue, or teal, I think we should call that. This is the number 32 car I'm talking about, Guy Cosmo, back behind the wheel. Nice to have Guy back in the IMSA paddock as well, always smiling. And that number 32 then on an out lap now. He is sitting at the moment in 13th, so 10th in class for Gilbert Cut Off Motorsports and the performance driver. That's the car he shares with Mike Skeen. Both of those drivers rated as silver. So presumably, Shea, could either of those guys gone out in the first part of the session then?
Yep, and the same is actually the case for the other Mercedes in class two, because Daniel Morad and Michael De Quezada both raced, rated as silver drivers. So that means that we don't know which of the two drivers, or for the 39 Audi for Carbon actually, which of those two drivers will go out for points and which goes out for positions, because it's an open choice for all of them.
And just to underline, Jeremy, how important the second part of qualifying is, where points are up for grabs. Jack Hawksworth has made a bit of a habit of taking the points, regardless of where the car has qualified for its grid spot. But he has boosted its points challenge in that number 14 Lexus this year by going out there and getting top points in the qualifying session for his class of driver.
Well, that's right. I mean, Aaron Tielitz has put that car on the pole position for the race in that qualifying session twice this season. But Jack Hawksworth, he doesn't qualify the car these days in terms of setting the grid positions, because he's always been the pro driver, and it's the non-pro that has been qualifying in IMSA since 2018. But he has four times this season set the fastest time and scored, therefore, maximum points in qualifying. And, you know, that could be critical. The qualifying points in terms of the championship this weekend. Just looking at the overall championship points in GTD, the number 9 car, which leads the points, has scored 240 of its 2,570 points. 240 of them have been scored in qualifying. You look at Brian Sellers and Madison Snow, of their 2,538, 188 have been scored in qualifying. So that's the difference there of 52. And the difference between them in the championship is 74. So my point here is, wow, that those points in qualifying could be crucial at the end of the day, as close as it is in the GTD points table.
It'll look very different when we come back next year, with GT Daytona having a full factory pro category. No GT Le Mans for next year. So a GTD Pro and a GTD category. Full factory efforts expected from most of the main manufacturers. And that may give opportunity for one or two pro drivers to come into the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. I'll be interested to see how that works. And of course, where Corvette are going to fit into that, whether they fit into that, whether they'll run the current car BOP'd back and for how many races, or whether they will go, as rumour suggests, to do a full WEC series. And Le Mans, of course, Le Mans very important to them, where the GT Le Mans cars, called GTEs out there, are still racing for the next couple of seasons, and then maybe only do a limited programme here in the US. Or will they surprise us all and turn out a full house GT3 at C8? Stranger things have happened. All I'm saying.
Now it's got to come soon, John, hasn't it? Just back to that point about the points. I talked about Zach Robichaud and Laurens Vanthoor scoring 240 points in qualified this season for the season-long championship. That's two more than Jack Hawksworth in the number 14 car. But in the if you just take the race points as they are, Brian Sellers and Madison Snow have scored 2,350, which is actually 20 points more than Zach Robichaud just to accentuate what I was about a little while ago. So that's why these qualifying points can be very important. Still don't like it, but that's the way it is, and it's going to be very interesting if the championship is decided by those qualifying points.
Remarkable turnaround in the conditions here. Now, almost a little bit of a heat haze turning up on the circuit with the temperatures rising all the time. And as far as the track concerned now, it's up to 88 degrees, 72 in the air. As we come into the last couple of minutes for the GT Daytonas to run in this session, and then the three GT Le Mans cars will, I suppose, have a chance to do a bit of a qualifying run on their own. And if anybody complains from GT Le Mans that they didn't get a clear lap, I will slap them with something. Just coming through to the last few moments then, Andy Lally behind the wheel of the number 44 Acura. This is the white car, the Speed Racer coloured car, dropping down to the bottom of the hog pen now and onto the front, curving front straight. He steers out with 3 minutes left as he crosses the line. Amazing how different the gradient and Magnus Racing cars look because of the different colour schemes. It's a very striking car, the current version of the Acura NSX. Funny enough, I saw an original NSX on the road a couple of weeks ago when I was doing some out and about jobs, and just made me realise what a great looking car that was back in its day in the 90s, and particularly the later versions with the fairing headlights. Very sought after now, of course, because of Ayrton Senna's involvement in the development of the Gen 2 cars. The new version of the NSX, a worthy successor, I would say. And this weekend, a big anniversary for Honda. The anniversary of their first Grand Prix victory back in 61 or 62, Jeremy, or 63, certainly. That must have been 61, wasn't it? Otherwise, they wouldn't have been. It's 21, so yeah, it must have been 61. So 60 years ago since Honda won their first Formula One Grand Prix.
Richie Ginther, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah, absolutely. Always looked like a car thief, Richie Ginther, in all the photos I've ever seen, lurking around with his bomber jacket on at the back of drivers' meetings. Hell of a driver, though, no doubt about that. So let's see if there's going to be any improvement then in this last minute and a half or so. Certainly was one last time around for Jeff Westfall before he came into the pits. 144.912 for the 39 Audi. That pushes him up to sixth in the category. So it's only about a minute away before we leave the beautiful rolling countryside of VIR to the GT Le Mans cars. Cooper McNeil has jumped into the number 79, and in fact just comes back into the pits. Tommy Milner and Jordan Taylor in the 4 and the 3 Corvette, which are 2nd and 3rd respectively. Just over a mile of track per car from a moment or two's time.
They're nicely spaced.
Yeah, they are. Just waiting for a couple of the, I think we've still got about half a dozen, maybe 7 or 8 GTDs doing their final lap. 22 seconds still to run in the session.
That final 15 minutes at this event, just for GTLM.
Well, they may not. I see what you mean. You mean you put it in the timetable. Yeah. Yes, I see what you mean, Jeremy. Yeah.
Why not give everybody else another 15 minutes?
Well,
I mean, it's not as if the GTLM cars are going to be out on their own in qualifying. They are going to have their own GTLM cars.
That is a good point. And it's not as if we were replete with other cars out there, i.e. the other couple of prototype classes as well that would normally add, what, another getting on for 8 to 10 cars to the mixture. Yep. Well, it gives us, I presume they'll slap on a new set of Michelins and do that quali sim there, though, so we might see a bit of excitement, Jeremy. Although a 140.838 for Kevin Estra early on is quite exciting. I bet that was quite exciting from behind the wheel. Just watching Tommy Milner and his time ticking on. 141.322 last time around. It's about a tenth or so away from the best that car's done. Session has concluded for GT Daytona. So the hard point, number 88, with Catherine Legg, who's up to 15th overall. So that's, what, 12th in class. She's leading a gaggle of cars, which includes the Grasso Racing Lamborghini, the Gradient NSX, and one of the Aston Martins. That'll be the number 23 car, actually, of Ross Gunn, which is second at the moment. They can tie up the championship this weekend. Alex Ribeiro's his teammate just behind him by 0.099 of a second. And those top three in GT Daytona separated by just a tenth of a second. Just a tenth of a second. Actually, make that the top four. Extraordinarily close. Going from 144.407 to a 144.613. And that takes you down to Zach Veach in the second of the Lexus. They're all peeling off at the pit lane, as they should do. I think we've got a decent race here, Jeremy, in GT Daytona. I really do.
Well, you shouldn't be surprised about that.
Well, no, that
really is
true, yeah. Fair point.
It is going to be fun, but good to see Alex Ribeiro there up toward the sharp end as well, the second of the Aston Martins. Did you just mention that?
Yeah,
third fastest then, yep. Finally... It would appear that they're having that second car is going to stand them in good stead. And that miscue a couple of races ago at World Tech Raceway Laguna Seca, where Ross Gunn got out of the car prematurely into qualifying, that could be really costly in terms of the points championship. It cost them it cost them 17 points. Because they should have got 35 maximum points, having set the fastest time in the qualifying session, but ended up with last place points, which was, they were lucky. There were only 13 cars there that weekend in GTD, so he scored 18 instead of 35. But still, I'd say that could be very costly.
So the next 11 and a half minutes, just for the three GT Daytona cars. Cooper McNeil is out and running. We've been mentioning lately how Cooper's driving and his pace has improved. It must be so hard to be in a full pro class, as he's fit, he keeps himself fit, he does a lot of racing, but there's still a difference between a full-time pro works driver and someone who isn't. And I think he's done a stellar job, particularly Sean at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. And he's backed that up. And that car, particularly if the weather is set to be a little inclement over the weekend, I think that car's, I mean, we've said it before, Shea, that Porsches go well around here. I think the WeatherTech Porsche's got to be in with a really good shout. I mean, all right, it's a 1 in 3 chance, you might say, but you're up against the might of General Motors and Corvette Racing.
Yeah, and that's the big factor for them. As far as it being Porsche weather, there's no doubt that it will be wet tomorrow. It's just a question of how wet. Projected to get about 2 inches of rain at the race start. So it's looking quite grim as far as that's concerned. But for Cooper McNeil, he knows how to win at VIR. He did it back in 2012 in a Porsche in the GTC days. His co-drivers this year, though, John, this is a little bit of fun. Kevin Estra, Jimmy Bruni, Richard Leitz, Earl Bamber, Lawrence Vantor, Matt Campbell, Matthew Jaminet. That's not too shabby.
He's missing a hind off from there. He really needs a hind.
He really is. Reed. How could I forget Christian Reed, too? Yeah, he's driven with quite a fair number of people who are more than decent behind the wheel of a Porsche.
No, that is a Porsche Hall of Fame list, isn't it? I mean, let's be very honest. 9.5 minutes to go across the line. Cooper's in the pits, actually, at the moment, so it's been left to Tommy Milner and Antonio Garcia. And I think that might be it, Jeremy, for the WeatherTech Porsche. Body language, can we read anything from what Cooper's saying? I don't think he's overly happy with the handling and the balance of that Porsche. Seems to be saying that the front end's not where he wants it at the moment. Well, that does leave the two Porsches. Yeah, they're having a look at the left front wheel on the 79 car, as if there might be a little bit of play in the steering. So that Porsche for the moment, that flat six, not making any noise. And all the thunder on the track, no lightning in the air, thank goodness, is from the two V8 Corvettes. With the mid-engine for the last couple of seasons, burst onto the scene last year. Had a winning season last year for the C8R. Almost got their first victory with this car at Le Mans this year. Kept the winning Ferrari very, very honest all the way through. 40-odd seconds for the last half of the race, it seemed. And shit.
Unleash the Estra. Mm. Back away from the fences, people. Kevin's going out there with new tires and probably not a lot of fuel with 7.5 minutes to go. And, yeah, they've said, hey, go improve your time. Not good enough.
Right, okay. Interesting. Just the single qualifying session for GT Le Mans. It will be qualifying for points and position at the same time. And the flat six burst back into life, almost 4.2 litre. As big as that flat six can go. Oh, a big wiggle going into turn one. Now, was that induced by Kevin Estra? And was that a very obvious illustration of the problem that Cooper was having? There's no further weaving around from Estrus. He comes out through at 4 and 5, Jeremy, and up through the snake.
Yeah, I think John is just, I mean, he's just simulating a race out lap, pushing it to the limit, going to turn one. Yeah, the car snaps a little bit sideways, no problem. Cold tyres, of course, you know, no tyre warmers in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. So just, you know, trying to find as much grip as he can going into turn one, and he didn't overstep the limit, and that's exactly what you're supposed to do. No, get to the limit, but not over it. Any problem there for Kevin? But to your point, if Cooper was complaining the car was a little bit oversteery, that certainly would suggest that to be the case. And we'll see now, once he gets his car fully up to speed, should be fairly shortly now, he's done most of the lap around here, then we will see what sort of lap times he can turn in that number 79 car for the Proton Competition team.
So the WeatherTech Racing, I do think the WeatherTech Racing car looks really good in that white with the red and blue swooshes on it. Very proudly an American company, WeatherTech, and based up in just north of Chicago, aren't they? And their worldwide headquarters there. Road America, sort of nominally their home race. Been a big supporter of the series in both terms of the title sponsorship and, of course, having cars like this one in running in the championship. So interesting to see what happens for them next year as well, whether they go for a full pro car in the pro class or whether they go into the GTD category.
Decision pending, as I've been told.
Yeah. It's a tough one, isn't it, particularly when you know, one of Cooper's races to tick off is he wants to go and do Le Mans. And he's done Le Mans the last couple of years, Shea, in the pro class. Well, that's still going to be around for the next couple of seasons. He's also done some racing out in Europe, in ACO Rolls Racing, with Porsche. I can't see them not having a WeatherTech car in their championship, in this championship. But I do wonder if it'll be a full season next year, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think chances are it will be a full season effort in IMSA, maybe a different car. Just going with the classes, I mean, the WeatherTech racing car has not necessarily always been a Porsche. In fact, it's been many, many different manufacturers over the years. But the thing with Cooper McNeil is that every year he's run Ferrari Challenge, where he's won that championship four consecutive years on the bounce, which is important to note, and run in WeatherTech. So he has been in competitive series in the U.S. I just don't think they know quite what they want to do as far as next year is concerned. And the big goal for Cooper, you hit it, John, he wants to win Le Mans. That's the race. Winning Daytona, yes, that is another thing he wants to win. But Le Mans is the end-all, be-all goal of every year.
Yeah. And, of course, there is a Ferrari GT Daytona car, which is not massively dissimilar to his Ferrari Challenge cars. So possibly a step into the prancing horse. Of course, there is a Porsche LMDH coming in 2023, which I think would look fabulous in WeatherTech colours.
Oh, yes.
And that's an outright race winner in both IMSA and potentially ACO Racing as well. Down the last 3 minutes, Estra came back into the pit lane without really troubling the times, didn't do a flying lap, an outlap, and then came back round in. So to me, Jeremy, that was just him trying the car to see if there was an issue. And in fact, we've got one of the Corvettes coming in now as well. That's Nick Tandy coming into the pit lane, whilst his teammate Antonio Garcia stays out. So maybe a couple more laps for Antonio Garcia. Tandy, finally, the number four car, Jeremy, on a bit of a roll. Had a couple of decent victories. Might be a little bit too late for them to challenge for the championship.
Yeah, they're going to need all the chips to fall their way if they're going to wrest away the championship from their teammates Antonio Garcia and Jordan Taylor. But as you say, you know, a fine end or recent part of the season with the two wins in consecutive events in California. So looking to carry that form across here to VIR as well, and then also to Petit Le Mans. If they win both races, they've certainly got an outside chance. But it is even then going to take some bad luck for Antonio Garcia and Jordan Taylor, and I think even a second place finish is going to be enough this weekend for Antonio Garcia and Jordan Taylor to clinch, even if Tommy Milner and Nick Tandy win.
Shea Adam musing about Corvette drivers who haven't won Motul Petit Le Mans.
I'm pretty sure Antonio Garcia has still never won that race. I know that Tommy Milner has not won that race, because that was one of only two races that he and Ollie Gavin didn't win as a duo, which is still kind of mind-blowing. They were that good for that long. But yeah, it's one of those things. Remember, we're getting the BMWs back, we expect, for Motul Petit Le Mans. Maybe the Ricci Ferrari, maybe, please, guys, please. It could be a little bit more competitive, but we could have a good shot of a Corvette winning that race for the first time. Corvette driver, I should say.
And the new 992 GT3R, thanks to John De Geese, will debut in 2023. John De Geese of Sportscar 365. Sorry, John, didn't see that when you tweeted that through to me earlier on. Fine base model for that car, the 992. Every time I get close to one, whether it's a road car or a race car, just looking at the cup cars, and of course we have Porsche Carrera Cup North America presented by Visit Cayman Islands here this weekend. Wait, you see the lap times for those things. Going to be impressive. Checkered flag is out. And it is the VP Racing Fuel checkered flag on the start-finish line. So question is, will they complete the laps? Did Tandy pop back out again right at the end there, just before the checkered flag came out? Yes, he must have, because he's heading up the snake at the moment. So we'll let these cars come through. I can't see that it will be an improvement for either of them, and perhaps Tonio Garcia will dive into the pits. We'll know what his dashboard's telling him as he comes through the final corner. He's staying to the right and pulls in to the pit lane, hits the pit lane speed limit. In the meantime, Nick Tandy is up at Oak Tree Corner on what I believe, well, it can't be an outlap, so he must have sneaked out with one lap to go. Definitely saw him diving in with about 3 minutes to go.
Yeah, it was a 49 last time around, so yeah. Kind of a warm-up lap, so to speak, or an outlap, certainly.
Well, again, he will see on the highly sophisticated steering wheel and dashboard array that's in front of him more information there than we have in the booth sometimes, I feel. Coming down through the roller coaster now and to Hogpen. Does he steer to the right? Yes, he does, and he peels off as well. So that actually puts the full stop at the end of the session, the second and final free practice session, yeah. Which earlier on we saw Lexus ahead of two Aston Martins, with the second Lexus in fourth position in GTD before a Lamborghini and the two Porsches and the Audi, as well as an Acura and the first Mercedes in 10th position, and very close at the top of the times for GTD, exactly as we would expect, Jeremy Shaw.
Indeed so, and the best time, certainly Kevin Escher was purple in all three sectors in GTD. The first sector fastest of all was Lawrence Vanthoor, who ended up only with the sixth fastest overall time, but was purple in sector one. Jack Hawksworth purple in sector two. He ended up with the fastest time of the session. Alex Ribeiras in the second of the Harter Racing Team Aston Martins, because they ran second and third in this session. Ribeiras ended up in third position, but he was purple in the third and final sector on this racetrack. So again, you know, a Lexus there, an Aston Martin, and a Porsche with the fastest sector times. Once again, it's going to be hard to pick who's going to be on top either in the qualifying, either the qualifying sessions or the race tomorrow, John.
And a massive 3.5 tenths, and I'm not being sarcastic there. That is a big gap between Kevin Estre, Nick Tandy, Antonio Garcia. The Porsche clearly dialed right in to VAR, at least for Kevin Estre. So come qualifying, that should be an interesting battle. And we'll be back at 4:30 local time for a 4:35 start. That is, what, 9:30 in the UK, 10:30 in Europe. And we will be back in sound and vision. No blocks, no breaks, whether in the US or anywhere else in the world. Tune in and find out who takes the pole position for the race tomorrow. Remember, our IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship race is tomorrow, Saturday. Jeremy Shaw was with me, John Hindorf, in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Shea Adam brought us the news with our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock Report. Thanks to our technical team in Charlotte, on site and up in London. We'll be back at 4:30 local time. See you then. Bye-bye.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.